You're listening to The Rod Echoes Show, the coolest, most politically incorrect, conservative black man on the planet.
Zinc Media. Feel the power of knowledge.
It was a long enough a blip for the router to go out, so we had to wait for that to reboot as it came back on online, because it to cut off everything. So of course, you know, you got to reboot everything and wait for it to reboot and cross your fingers and hope that there isn't anybody out there who wants to do an update on you at that particular point in time, because you don't know, because none of it's telling me that ever. Hey, do you want to, save your information? All I get is, it's going to do this the next time, you know, if I'm lucky, it'll tell me that it's going to update. But anyway, here we are back up and running again. This is the whole uninterrupted power supply thing. There is no such thing. That because something doesn't have a battery backup, and they all take a bit of time to switch over. You know that's true. They all take some time to switch over. So we have a building, a whole building generator. Well, the interruption is it's programmed. The least that we can get it down to is 10 seconds. So there's got to be a 10-second gap before the whole building generator kicks in. Now, the battery backups that I have for certain things, not my computer, but, obviously the laptop has its own battery, so it did power and it automatically does. But there is a 2 to 3 second delay. Like, if I had my router plugged in, the battery doesn't kick in for 2 or 3 seconds. So everything gets shut, even if it's only a 2 second drop, it's still dropped and everything's good. So there is no, I don't know of any way for us regular folk to have uninterrupted power source, unless of course you actually generate your own power, which means you have a windmill out there, or you have a solar array or something, where you collect all the power and create the power yourself. That's about the only way you're going to have an uninterruptible power source. Because otherwise, if you're dependent on from the outside and you have all these battery backups, it takes a second or two or three or 10 for all that backup stuff to kick in. And sure, that may work for most stuff, but not for electronics. It does not work. I mean, it gets you get a half a second interruption, a power interruption on your Apple TV or your PlayStation. It screws everything up, and you got to start over. There is no such thing as uninterruptible power source when it comes to that type of thing. I think we've got Agent 0010 back on the line. Welcome back. We had left off.
What happened? I fell on my head. Anyway. Okay, so Brazil, like I was saying before, Brazil is south of the border. This being the case, this individual, Mr. Baracat, he was arrested in a region of Brazil that's very well known for money laundering, forged currency smuggling and drug trafficking activity. Now, this guy was very well known for doing a lot of fundraising for Hezbollah in that region, which is very close to the Argentinian and Paraguayan border. Mm-hmm. This is like a tri-border. So this individual also has, like I said before, has a few transportation companies. So he's also been known since 2001 to be going to Iran once a year. So he would go to the country of Iran, and have meetings with Hezbollah there, thus also reinforcing the fact that Iran is the world's number one supporter of terrorism, to include Hezbollah. So he was arrested, like I said, south of the border in Brazil, the same border that the president wants to fortify and strengthen to prevent any kind of illegal activity, such as human trafficking or terrorists sneaking into the United States. God forbid we should actually decrease crime in this country.
Well, we have this whole Bangladeshi, those 600 and some odd, 50 some odd Bangladeshis have been reportedly. I mean, Bangladesh from all places. How the hell are they even getting to this side of the world, let alone crossing into the USA? But 650 people from Bangladesh, you know some of those are Islamic terrorists.
You know what? Honestly, if you turn around and you take, like, let's say, reputable Bangladesh charities here in the United States, and they decide, okay, what we're going to do is we're going to actually conduct some kind of screening, some kind of vetting system, so that way we can sponsor fellow Bangladeshis that wish to come to the United States and become citizens or work in the United States. Well, guess what? If they conduct a rigorous vetting system, like any charity should, well, then there would be no problem. There wouldn't be no need for them to fly all the way down to Central South America to then try to sneak into the United States when they would already be here. They would be sponsored. They would have the support of this charitable, reputable, I got to put the stress on this, reputable charitable organization that wishes to sponsor these people. To me, there's nothing wrong with that. There would be nothing wrong with that, because then that would show that these people that wish to come back in or wish to come into the United States want to live the American dream, not live the American dream by crushing it for everybody else and making the entire country conform to the way they want to live. Because radical Islam is exactly that. It's conform to what we believe in or die.
Yes.
That is radical Islam.
Well, some people would say that it's not radical, it's just normal Islam, because that's what the Quran and basically their other two holy books tell them.
You know what? I'm gonna say this right now. My time in the Middle East, I have worked with Muslims, and I have watched Muslims kill Muslims, and the Muslims that were being killed were radical terrorist Muslims, such as Al-Qaeda, such as Hezbollah. These radical organizations were being killed by other Muslims. So to say that Muslims aren't doing nothing is a falsehood. But that's over there. Come to the United States. To me, if I'm walking past an area and I see a crime being committed, like let's say a woman being violated, and I look over and I see it happening and I keep walking and do nothing, I'm just as guilty as the person who's committing the crime. So there are many people in the United States that say, oh, well, you know what? They're just standing up for what we believe in. Well, what do you believe in? That the man should be a man. Well, I agree with that. Oh, that they should have God in their life. Well, I believe that too. Should I die too? Yes. Why? Because you're not a Muslim. You don't believe it the way we do. You don't believe in the great prophet. Oh, so because I don't believe it in the way you do, you're not going to do anything to me, but it doesn't bother you if a radical does something to me. Is that what you're saying? And 7 out of 10 times, they're going to say, yeah, pretty much. So by ignoring what these radicals are doing, you're just as guilty as they are. But that's my honest opinion.
Well, I mean, it's the same way. It's more than just an opinion. It's actually factual. If you don't stand up against tyranny, then it's just the same as you being tyrannical yourself. It doesn't matter where the tyranny is coming from or what the tyranny supposedly believes in. If it's tyranny, it's tyranny. If you don't stand up against it, you're just as guilty as the people who are perpetrating it because you're not doing anything to stop it.
So yeah, but then again, it's the president of the United States that's being called Hitler and a tyrant and a fascist and blah, 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 blah. But the people that are actually doing the physical damage, the ones that are going out there and conducting the violence, the ones that are going out there and pretty much ignoring the violence, well, no, they're okay.
Yeah.
Well, what's wrong with this picture?
They're the ones that are totally and completely fine. No problems whatsoever from them, from that side.
Exactly. Now, speaking of Iran, they are having issues. And I don't mean just the riots that were happening in Iran. I am talking about the Iraqi people are pretty much fed up with Iran. Why do I say this? Well, there's been a push from Tehran to force the United States to exit from Iraq. One little problem. There's a city in Iraq called Basra. Now, Basra is an oil-rich port. Well, it seems that the people of Iraq don't want the United States to leave. In fact, they're pretty much fed up with Iran, and they want the Iranians to leave. Why? Because anti-government demonstrators in the port city set ablaze offices of the Iranian-backed militia and the Iranian consulate. So,
Go ahead. Iraqis set Iranian facilities ablaze. Iraqis set Iranian facilities ablaze.
Yes.
Okay, got it.
And they're basically telling Iran, no, U.S. stays, you go. So, yeah, Iran is having issues just all over the damn place. They're having problems throughout the entire Middle East because what makes me laugh is that all of a sudden you have all these American politicians that are saying that the agreement between the United States and Iran on nuclear weaponry was effective, that it was working, and this, that, and the other thing, and that pretty much was a lie. Because the rest of the Middle East, and I don't mean just Israel, I'm talking about Saudi Arabia, Yemen, all these other places are saying, yeah, no, that was a bad idea. That was a bad deal, a very bad deal. Now, I'm sorry, but if I'm living across the country, how am I going to say, well, Rod Echols' backyard is a total disaster when his next-door neighbor is looking at it and saying, no, it's not. It's gorgeous. It's beautiful. Look at that. So well manicured. Look at that. The squirrels are playing. So, you know, what right do I have to say anything? But yet the intelligence organizations from the Middle East, from several Middle Eastern countries, are saying, no, this was such a bad idea. Okay, fine. I'll take their word for it because basically they're right there. So they're having issues with the entire Middle East. Their proxy fighters in Yemen are getting their butts kicked. The U.S. sanctions are nailing their hides to the wall. So it's either a case of it's a case that if Iran tries to do something militarily against the United States, there would be an onslaught on the country of Iran from Iraq, Saudi Arabia. Israel would not get into it because if they did, then there would be a breakdown in that kind of a coalition. But Egypt would jump in there. I'm pretty sure that the UAE and other Arab countries would jump in and basically kick Iran's butt. They would just hand it to them and say, here you go. So, yeah, Iran's having issues all over the place.
Well, it couldn't happen to a nicer nicer government, to tell you the truth. Unfortunately, the Iranian people have to suffer through all this, but...
Well, it's up to them. It's up to them. The protests started. They have to step up and just say, okay, that's it. Enough is enough. And something has to happen so they can actually live their lives peacefully, happily, but prosper in the same tone. Now, this is the one story, this one story that you guys, it's about time. That's all I can say. The Swedish Prime Minister, get ready, has been voted out by Parliament. What happened is the Social Democrat leader, Stefan Löfven, is now the first ever Swedish Prime Minister to have been removed from office in a parliamentary vote. This charge was led by a coalition of modern, center, liberals, Christian Democrats, and Swedish Democrats. Now, let me clarify one thing right now. What in Sweden they call Democrats, over here in the United States, we call Republicans. Because they believe in democracy, just like our Republicans. But there's another faction called the Social Democrats. Now, the Social Democrats, that's pretty much the same as it is here in the United States, which is social wackos saying, you give us 80% of your paycheck every week and the government will run beautifully. You'll be poor as hell, but the government will take care of you anyway. And all the other immigrants that we drag in. Well, this also disproves the fact that these Democrats and the mainstream media here in the United States that were mocking the president when he was talking about the rise of crime in Sweden was false. Well, if everything was beautiful in Sweden, wouldn't this guy still be in power? Wouldn't he still be the prime minister? If there was no crime, why would the Swedish people actually vote for the right-leaning organizations to take control? That's the million-dollar question. So maybe things aren't as bright and cheery as the American media proclaim it to be. Because they keep pulling stats from other organizations and not directly from Sweden, when Sweden's crime rates are much higher, the statistics are much higher than where the mainstream media get their information from. So
the people of Sweden have just about had enough of this stuff. So they've been really moving to the, I guess you could call it, the extreme right as far as their politics are concerned and wanting to get rid of these people who are causing all this problem and increased crime. So they booted out their prime minister for the first time ever, basically an impeachment.
Yes. Now, before the recent elections and the vote against Mr. Löfven, the left and Social Democrats and the Green Party, yes, they have a Green Party, hug a tree, who voted in favor of him staying as prime minister. Well, before that, they wouldn't even bother dealing with these other political parties. They're like, please, we know better. We're great. We have the moral high ground. We're superior to you. Whatever you have to say, we don't care. We're going to run this country the way we want to. Well, it seems now that these political parties and the former prime minister are now saying, oh, we want to work with you. No. Too little, too late.
Too late. Goodbye.
We tried working with you. We voiced our opinions. We voiced our concerns. You told us to go kick rocks. Well, now we kicked your butt. We didn't kick rocks. We kicked your ass.
Say goodbye.
Now, so the prime minister, like, well, I was hoping I could stay so I can bridge the gap between all the political... Nope, too late. They tried. They tried
bridging
talking to
gap?
You. You
they,
ignored them.
Yeah, bridging what gap? They did. They were pretty damn arrogant. And this is pretty much par for the course for any European liberal leftists. It doesn't matter what country they're in. If the people want to move more towards the right, they pretty much ignore the hell out of them until they're forced to do so. I mean, well, look at Germany. I mean, Angela Merkel was completely ignoring those people who were center and right-leaning in her country until they started gaining some power. Now she's like, well, maybe we can work together. You didn't want to work with us before. So I don't. Yeah, and it's the same thing with the Brits, and now they're in the throes of Brexit, and everybody wants to put the brakes on Brexit. But look, you know, they tried telling you that before Brexit came along, and you didn't want to listen. So now they just said, screw it. So are we doing the same thing here? I mean, is there even Mexico? Mexico's president is supposed to be this leftist guy. He says, you know what? I won't fight with Trump over the border wall. Well, wait, I thought he was elected to fight Trump over the border wall. Now, he's still not saying that Mexico is going to pay for it, but he says, well, we're not going to fight about it.
You know what? Here's what makes me laugh about this whole thing. Everybody actually thought. Now, this as soon as he said that Mexico was going to pay for it, I had to take a little while to sit there and think how, because they're not going to write a check and just say, okay, here you go for the wall. They're not going to do that. So how is Mexico going to pay for the wall? Okay, here's an idea. This is how the president, and I know for a fact, this is exactly how he plans on having Mexico pay for the wall. I am going to, like, let's say, I'm going to build a deck to my house. And guess what? Rod Echols and all the listeners are going to pay for it. And this is how they're going to pay for it. They're not going to write me a check. Very simple. I have this item, this one item. I don't know. Let's say it's this amazing pen. And it costs me, let's say, $2 to have it made. Well, then I turn around and I tell Rod, hey, Rod, look, I got this kick-ass pen. And it's going to cost you $3.05. That's it. Just $3.05. Well, why the $3.05? Because the simple fact is that I got to pay to have these pens made. I got to take that $1.05, and I am going to, with the proceeds from that, guess what? I get my deck built. Simple as that. So if President Trump turns around and says, hey, Mexico, guess what? We got all this stuff. And I'm only going to charge you an additional $1, or let's say 50 cents, an additional 50 cents per item. Well, Mexico's going to look at that and go, oh, that's not outlandish. Sounds like a deal to me. Wall's paid for. Done.
Well, that's the kind of the way I thought he would get it done anyway. It would be by some sort of tariff or tax or border crossing fee or what have you in order to take. And it wouldn't take that much, because remember, we're talking something that's going to cost less than $25 billion to do anyway. So
honestly, it's not even a tariff. It's just a simple case of saying, yeah, we're just raising the price by 50 cents or a dollar.
Yeah, so
that's it.
So, and it's not like it would take very long for that type of a fee to pay for it, because, again, we're talking $25 billion at most. And look, when Trump says that something's going to cost something, you can probably, even if it's in government, you can probably be pretty damn sure that it's not going to go above and beyond that, that he's got it pretty much nailed down, as long as other people don't get too much involved. But, so,
well,
it's not going to be all that expensive.
I think the funny. No, it's not. And I mean, let's put it like this, okay? And this is where the politician part of him comes out. Because let's say all of a sudden the Mexican government says, well, why the price increase? Inflation, baby. It's called inflation. Gotta pay it. Yeah. Inflation, she's a mean mistress. And if you don't pay her, she will wreck your life. So, sorry, it's called inflation. And of course they're going to go, yeah, inflation does suck. Okay. You got it.
It does suck.
That's it.
All right, hold on right there. We got to take this break, and we'll be right back to continue with the Intel report with Agent 0010. Don't go anywhere.
I'm not Rod Eccles, and I approve this message.
We've all heard of male enhancement, but now there's an expert on true male enhancement in the areas that really count. In Herb Ellis's book, Husband 2.0, Real Male Enhancement, you'll find answers to questions like, why doesn't she want to have sex? A quick start, quick results workout guide. Plus, what you can do as a side hustle to make money now. With all the great tips in this book, every man can benefit. Get the book, Husband 2.0, Real Male Enhancement, on Amazon.com.
It started with a knock, but it wouldn't end there. What happens in the story next, many wouldn't understand, and most wouldn't believe. 5+2=Perfection by Samuel Rosette Jr. is a must-read. The scriptures within are reminders of the ancient past, and yet intriguingly infuses with texts which stand on the edge of the stage of relevancy. Available online at Westbow Press, Amazon, Books A Million, Barnes & Noble, and SamuelRosetteJr.com.
This holiday season, help Soldiers for Stockings improve the morale and welfare of members of our armed forces deployed overseas. Now through November 20th, there is so much work to be done, and you can help in many ways. Download the stocking pattern from stockingsforsoldiers.org and start sewing today. Volunteer to help decorate and assemble stockings. Donate Christmas candies, snacks, nuts, chips, drink mixes, DVDs, books, magazines, lip balm, toiletries, and other items needed to fill the stockings. Or help make packets of snowman soup, hot chocolate, to send along with the stockings. For more information, patterns, and a list of items needed, visit stockingsforsoldiers.org. This holiday season, help send our troops a touch of home. For many, it's all they will receive. All stockings need to be completed by November 20th. So get started today at stockingsforsoldiers.org. That's stockingsforsoldiers.org. Stockings for Soldiers, sending stockings filled with joy to our soldiers in harm's way for the 9th consecutive year.
If you're 85 or younger, would you like peace of mind and comfort for your family? We're Final Expense Direct with an urgent message for you. The average funeral today costs over $8,000, but the most you'll get from government benefits is $255. How will your family pay the difference? We can help. Our senior plans start as low as just a dollar a day and pay up to $30,000 for a funeral and other final expenses. Peace of mind is easy. There's no medical exam. You'll have lifetime coverage, and your plan can't be canceled as long as you pay your premiums. Call now for free information about our senior plans. Answer a few simple questions and receive approval right on the phone. Plus, call right now, and we'll give you a discount prescription card for free. Call 800-471-9742. That's 800-471-9742. Again, 800-471-9742.
Do you need a car? Been shopping only to be turned down because of bad credit, low credit, no credit, bankruptcy, or divorce? Guess what? Today's your lucky day, because now you can buy a car, truck, or SUV, just about any vehicle. It's true. Bad credit? Doesn't matter. No credit? Doesn't matter. Bankruptcy or divorce? It just doesn't matter. As a matter of fact, your job is your ticket to your new vehicle. We're Auto Credit Express, and we've helped thousands of people just like you. Antonio H. told us, great company, got me connected, and the day I went in, I drove off in the car I wanted. 100% worth your time. Need a car? Get started now and drive off as early as today. Just go to 7ignoremyscore.com right now. That's www.7ignoremyscore.com. Auto financing the easy way. 7ignoremyscore.com. Get started today. Auto financing the easy way.
Days like today, where we have all this wonderful gloominess. I guess we're expecting thunderstorms later this afternoon. Hey, but it's going to be up in the high 70s. I know I've said this before, but I've long given up trying to figure out our weather pattern this year. But it's supposed to be high 70s, almost 80 today, with the potential of thunderstorms. But now earlier in the week, you know, meaning like Sunday, Saturday and Sunday, they said we're going to have one day of rain on Tuesday. Well, that one day turns, no thunderstorms. Now the one day turns into at least 2 days with the potential of thunderstorms. Mugginess is back for the end of September, and it's going to be almost 80 degrees today. I'm not making this stuff up. Wish I could, but yeah, so much for so much for us figuring out what the perfect climate and weather pattern is, because Mother Earth still can't make up her mind. You know, what do they call it? Gaia? Isn't that what they is? Oh no, that's the goddess. There's Mother Nature, and then there's Gaia, and I think they're separate, right? Because, you know, because after all, in this day and age, you know, God has to be a goddess. Maybe God is a transgender God. Is there such a thing now? I don't. If we're we got transgender everything else. By the way, there is a gentleman. I had this story yesterday. He's not a gentleman. He is a gentleman because he was in the military. He was in the Navy as a male, but evidently. He decided to put binary whatever. He had a legitimate reason. Evidently he was born with both sexual internal external organs. So he's not a male or a female. He literally is both. But he served in the U.S. Navy as a male, but he wanted his passport to say that he was neither one, intersex or something like that. I'm like, no. He already identified as a male. That's the way. I mean, the point of these IDs is to be able to identify people, not to express their political or personal beliefs. It's to identify you. So if you're going to identify as a man, dress as a man, look like a man, you should be putting male on your passport, any of your other identifiers, because it's identifying you. I don't care what your politics. I mean, I just saying, just putting that out there, because now even when you trying to identify people, we're supposed to do it in a politically motivated way, and it makes people feel good about themselves. I suppose I don't know. I guess maybe we're supposed to start stamping everything that way too. Whatever crime, because Bill Cosby's going to jail for like 3 to 10 years or something like that now. I honestly don't think he's going to serve in a penitentiary. It's going to be some, big culture, country club prison for about a year and a half, maybe, because he's 81. He's going blind. His health is not that great. You did your time, Bill. Year and a half. Go home now. But are we going to have to start stamping on pedophile, sex offender, terrorist? Should we start stamping that stuff too? Because if you just want to identify, if you're talking about your political beliefs and what you've done in life, if you can just pick whatever gender you want, might as well put all the rest of that stuff on your ID too, right? Just saying. I thought your ID was all about trying to identify who you are, not what you believe in. Did I get that wrong, Agent? I don't know. Maybe is this how the CIA and NSA and all the other intelligence agencies work? When they ID somebody, it's based on, their ID is supposed to identify everything that they believe in. It doesn't care about their physical attributes to identify them. It just matters what they believe in. That's going to identify them. So we can always tell a person who, by the way they look or walk or talk, whether or not they're a Christian, a Jew, or a Buddhist or a terrorist, I don't know.
Well, when we identify someone, it's because of what they've done, and it's usually not a good thing. That's why you've been targeted. But, one of the first things we go for is, once we've determined what the person has done, well, we pretty much want to find out what they look like so we can, ID them. That's it. Identify them. Physically identify them. So, I'm not going to get into what the agency does because I don't want to get into any more trouble. But yeah. Now, it seems that the EU is having several issues, and they're losing their damn minds. Why? Well, first was Brexit. Then the Italian elections. And that was like, oh, damn. And now, let's not forget, Poland and Hungary telling the EU to go kick rocks because of the entire immigrant thing. Well, they really lost their minds when the Polish president met with the American president and said, hey, we'll build you a military installation if you move troops into Poland. And they're losing their minds because they're afraid that Hungary is going to do the same thing, which it seems like they just might, because Hungary and Poland have this mutual handshake agreement saying, we got each other's back. So if the Americans do that, if not just Poland, but into Hungary, well, that also means that not just the EU are going to lose their minds, but so is Russia. Why would Russia lose their minds? Because Hungary used to be one of Russia, or back then the Soviet Union's, bastion of spyhood. That place was crawling with Soviet spies, yeah, and British spies, and American spies, and East German spies.
So what is the
French spies?
So let everybody know that there are these places that I call spy cities, and they're places that are relatively known as being havens for spy activity, especially during the Cold War. You know, places like Prague and places, you know, even some of the romantic cities like Rome and Paris and Berlin were very much spy cities, but so were things like Prague and Munich and Moscow. And so what does Hungary have?
Oh, God. I mean, they have all kinds of safe houses from countries all over the world, from, you know, spy agencies, or, you know, from alphabet groups from all over the world.
What are the biggest spy cities in Hungary, though, that you would think?
Oh, God, it would be the capital. Yeah, you just mentioned the Prague.
Mm-hmm.
And, dude, they're all over the place. I'm sorry to tell you that.
They're all
over Hungary. The whole damn country. It doesn't matter, because the safe houses, you have safe houses that are actually in the cities. That state, stop. Don't want to give that information out. Stop.
Okay.
They're all over the country. Let's leave it at that. Okay, let's leave it at that. But the fact still remains is that the EU is losing their mind, because this is their fear of the EU. Many of these countries, most of these countries in the European Union, have been very dependent upon the EU organization. But that was taken away when the United States started downsizing its military forces. You know what? Kevin's right. I said Prague. It's Budapest. Budapest is the capital. But the United States military started downsizing its organization, its installations, to almost zero, until we only had like Germany, England left. Well, if this works for Poland, which it would also boost the Polish economy, well, this would be the stepping stone to a return of a major U.S. presence in all of Europe. We've got bases in Spain, a small one, in Rota. We have Aviano in Italy. We've got a few of them in Germany. But it's not as extensive as it used to be. So if you turn around and this is a comeback of U.S. presence in Europe, well, this would also weaken the EU. And it would also weaken Russia. Because notice, the Russian step up happened, or coincides with, the American step down. So even like a little country as Georgia,
which was invaded by Russia during the Bush administration, well, guess what? Maybe they would be interested, because the EU is not protecting Georgia. Nobody's protecting Georgia except for Georgia. So we had a very, very, very small American military presence in Georgia. And in fact, when the Russians invaded Georgia, those SOBs stole one of our Humvees. Ooh, that rhymed. I'm a poet. So they stole one of our Humvees, and they took it back to Russia. So it's a simple case that this could be a buildup of the American presence in Europe again, back to what it used to be. Because this American buildup at that time also helped the European economy. Because guess what? Soldiers, they love to spend money.
Yes,
they love it.
But they
and let me tell you something else. Whoever gets stationed in Poland, oh, I hate you. If any soldier ever gets stationed in Poland, I'm going to say I can't stand you. Poland is a drop-dead gorgeous country. It is a beautiful country. The people are brilliant. The scenery is breathtaking. I mean, you know what? I buy products that are made in Poland to consume because their snacks are quite tasty. Their food is delicious. It is an amazing country. So if anybody gets stationed in Poland in the future, when this installation opens and you're listening right now, just remember this. C.S. Walker says he hates you as soon as you step foot in Poland.
Well, we're
Hungary.
Pushing back the line, I guess, as it were, because the old Iron Curtain is gone. So now we're pushing that line back. But what's with this deal that Putin is now trying to put his mobile missile defense systems in other countries? I guess he's moving some into Syria. He wants to put them someplace else, not Iran, but what other countries might be in the Middle East or towards that area would be very – can't be Afghanistan because they don't like Russia. So where is he going to put this stuff?
This is I sincerely believe that this is a cooperation between – this is Russia helping out Iran, not Syria. Because don't forget, Israel accidentally shot down a Russian plane. And Israel was like, oops, my bad. So if any Israeli planes go anywhere near into Syria, well, they can be expected to get shot down. But this is more of a favor for Iran, if you ask me, because it would be an intimidating force. It would be a show of force to Israel. And who hates Israel more than anybody else? Nobody but Iran. Only Iran. Because they're the ones that are threatening to push the Jews into the ocean. So, to me, this is a case of, yeah, fine. Our jet fighters can take on Israeli jet fighters, but Iran wants us to put missiles here. So, you know what? Yeah, we're going to do it because they're our allies. So, to me, this is a case of Iran and Russia telling Syria, we're putting missiles there. Now, ladies and gentlemen, it is that time. Yes, it is time for Dumbass of the Week.
Yes, here we go.
Dumbass of the Week. Now, this week has had many people that I can pick from to be a dumbass.
It's every week.
Chuck Schumer. Chuck Schumer accusing the Republicans of politicizing the entire Lazy Ford Kavanaugh situation. The Republicans did that? Chucky, think again. There are just so many people. Oh, Cory Booker still keeps coming to mind. I'm Spartacus. Oh, you're Larry. but anyway. And then this whole thing about the Democrats and their followers and their base ignoring the entire Keith Ellison thing. This poor woman is getting death threats from fellow Democrats. She puts up her evidence on Twitter, and Twitter removes it. So, but that's not the dumbass of the week. The dumbass of the week is the Democrat running to replace Ted Cruz. And this name, his name is Beto O'Rourke. Now, Beto O'Rourke was debating Ted Cruz. And Ted Cruz was just standing there, that smug look on his face. Sometimes he's got such a smug look, I just want to punch him in the face sometimes. But anyway, so the whole thing about Mr. O'Rourke's drunk driving crash came up during the debates. Now, first of all, he says, oh, yeah, I was drunk driving. I shouldn't have done it. And yeah, you're right. You shouldn't have done that. But then why did you try to leave the scene of the crime? I didn't. Excuse me? I'm sorry. There's this little thing called a police report that can actually say, yeah, you did. So you're now saying that the police department is lying on you way back then in 1998, mind you, when they had no idea who the hell you were or that you were going to run for office. So now you're thinking that it was a setup. Yeah. Did they force the booze down your throat? No. Did they force you into the car? No. Did they force you to turn the car on? No. Did they force you to put the car in drive? Again, no. Did they force you to drive off with the car? No would be the answer yet again. Then why would they lie that you tried to leave the scene of an accident while highly intoxicated? And the reason why I say highly intoxicated is because when they opened the door and asked him to step out of the car, he put one foot on the ground, put the other foot on the ground, and then proceeded to fall down drunk. So you remember afterwards, because basically you were in prison, that you were drunk driving, but you claim you didn't leave the scene of the crime. Serious, dude? Okay, Beto, listen to me carefully. You weren't set up. They weren't after you. They weren't persecuting you. They were not doing anything to you other than they were doing their job by getting a drunk off the road who was driving a car that could have killed an innocent person or persons.
Oh, then he would be in, so Ted, for years, he'd be in Ted Kennedy territory then, so he'd be safe.
Oh, no, there was no river near anywhere near it. And he wasn't with a secretary. He was by himself. So he wouldn't have been murdering somebody that works for him. But he would have murdered innocent, maybe even an innocent family. You don't know. So, Beto, for you to stand there and say you didn't leave the scene of the crime when everything else, police reports, witnesses, everything, says, yeah, you did. You pretty much earned dumbass of the week for trying to pull that stunt. So, to you, Beto O'Rourke, candidate for the state of Texas, you are this week's dumbass of the week.
And there we go. I just say it's Beto because there ain't no way that an Irishman is ever going to try to pass as a Latino. So,
I also want to give a massive shout out again to my friends over at Coda Vets and to Gretchen Smith. She is amazing. She's wonderful. Recently, there was a member of the Coda Vets who was missing, and she went all out trying to make sure that he was okay where he was and everything else. Come to find out, yes, he's okay. He's alive and well. But if it wasn't for her efforts, God knows, you know, everybody would have been missing him and not knowing what the hell's going on. So Gretchen and everybody at Coda Vets, you are all amazing. And I see that to this day, we still leave no man or woman behind.
Definitely not. Okay, thank you so much for this week's rousing and informative report once again, Agent. And we'll be talking to you again shortly or soon next week, and maybe something else coming up too. But we'll let that teaser go out there for now. But
let it simmer.
Yes.
Let it simmer. Oh, God. Okay, you guys have a great one. God bless and take care. And no, I'm not going to be careful. That crap is boring.
Yes.
All
right. Bye. Bye. By the way, for Gretchen Smith out there, if you don't follow Code of Vets over on Twitter, somebody should really get a hold of her and tell her to move her operation over to Gab. She'd be much happier, and she'll have a lot more people to that'll follow her as well. Good stuff over there at Code of Vets. By the way, there's one thing about Code of Vets and Gretchen is, honestly, the woman's just too damn happy. She's always smiling and always happy. That's probably why Twitter doesn't like her. We'll be back.
You're listening to The Rod Eccles Show. Let truth be told.
It's Thursday night, and you're grabbing drinks with some friends. Start it off.